Good to have this great crowd here this morning. And our lesson this morning is on pride. And that was the thing that caused Satan to fall from heaven. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall as lightning to this earth." But in Isaiah chapter 14, it tells why he fell. He was beautiful in the day that he was created. And remember that. The devil was a created being. He was created. Matter of fact, he was the anointed cherubim. He was over the music of heaven. You want to know why all these rock and roll singers want the endorsement of the devil? I'll tell you right now, he was over the music of heaven. He knows somewhat about music. You read Ezekiel 28, and all it does is mention musical instruments, and they're all in him. But this lesson today is how God deals with pride. Our golden text is taken out of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. And that verse said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That's repeated word for word in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It's kind of like Psalms 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And Psalms 53:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Some things God thought important enough to mention them twice so that we might not miss the message. A lot of ways down here please man, but only one way pleases God. Jesus said, "I am the way." John 14:6. That's the only way that pleases God. If you could somehow climb up some other way, the Bible said you'd be a thief and a robber. You wouldn't be allowed to enter in. And our introduction today talks about there are hundreds of different languages in the world. I just barely can speak English. But some people speak proficiently several different languages, and I can't. And learned men have indeed endeavored to trace various languages to their originality. But by their efforts that they have put forth, their own ingenuity, they have never been able to establish their hypothesis. In other words, they can't prove the origin of language. The true origin of the diversity of languages is revealed to us today in this Sunday school lesson. The descendants of Noah were building a city, and that's Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And in order to prevent the dispersion of their families, which God had ordained for them to disperse, for the replenishing of the earth, and there God confounded their languages so they would have to disperse. And by this means, they were able to fulfill the designs of His providence. Now, when the church was first established, it remained at Jerusalem, and that's all they could do. But they were persecuted, and by that persecution, Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it said they were scattered abroad everywhere, and they went preaching the Word of God. Sometimes it's important to go beyond the norm, out where it's needed. And in this case, God done something that was needed. Had He not done what He did, they would have soon outgrew that place. But it looked good to them. It seemed right to them. But it wasn't right. God had told them to go out and to replenish the earth. Our lesson takes place in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. It said the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. This is a good lesson. The Bible says this: "Who made man's mouth?" God told Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. God did. He made it so you and I could talk. I'm not much of a talker, but I like listening. I do sometimes. I try to talk to my wife on the way up here, and I was in a losing battle. I said, "I'm getting a call." But actually, my phone battery, I thought I was getting a call. My phone battery was going out, and it was beeping. But God made man's mouth. God gave us the ability to speak. Psalms 94 verse 9 says, "Who planted the ear? Can you imagine me having a mouth and not having an ear? Some people, what'd you say? They try to get that word. Not only who planted the ear, but God also asked who formed the eye. I want to be able to talk. I want to be able to hear. And I want to be able to see. Every preaching message is kind of like a portrait. When the message is done, you see something that most of the times you didn't see before. At least that's the way it is with me. But God formed that mouth. God formed that ear. God formed that eye so we can enjoy life. And at this point in life, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And let me say, great efforts put forth today to bring the whole world into such a harmony once more, so that we have today one language, one religion, and one government, and that's not good. It's good if it's the right religion. I don't like to call salvation religion. But if it is the right salvation and the right religion, it'd be good. But there's an insatiable desire in man for some kind of utopia. Ever since many years back, men have strived to find somewhere where we could all get along. Oh, if we could just do this, we could all live peacefully with one another. That's only going to happen when Jesus takes His rightful place on the throne. Government has a whole lot to do with why you and I can't get along. Well, a little 10-year-old girl, can't write a report on her idol being God. He had to use Michael Jackson. That's not right. Matter of fact, the teacher told her it wasn't even acceptable to have the name of God in school. She had to take the paper out of school. So a lot of things interfere with that utopia. The whole search could end quickly and happily if we just recognize the Lord and give Him His rightful place in our life. You see, He's the Prince of Peace. The Bible said, "There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Everybody wants peace. They just don't want to go to the source of it. Caleb, they'll go everywhere. They'll call somebody up. "Can you tell me what to do here?" Why not call God up? He said, "Call upon me in a day of trouble." Jeremiah 33:3. "I'll show you great mighty things you know not." He's a very present help in time of trouble. He's the last one you'll call. But we all want some kind of utopia where we can all get along. We all want peace. But a man-made peace can never compare to God's peace. I've got perfect peace that passes all understanding. Even when my daughter got killed in a car wreck in 1995, I had peace. I buried my mom. I buried my dad. I had peace. I've been in a hospital intensive care. I've been actually on life support almost. I had peace. I'm sitting here thinking, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I'll fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I'll tell you right now, you can have peace if you'll let the Prince of Peace abide with you. Verse 2, it said, "It came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." There wasn't nothing wrong with the place. There was just something wrong with the plan. Their plan. 300 years had passed since the flood. They still haven't done what God told them to do. These descendants of Noah were not doing the will of God. And God had intended to give them the instruction to replenish the earth and to subdue it. But instead of scattering and spreading, they huddled together and planned to build a city from which they would cluster together. And it would seem evident that they must have gotten along well together at this time. So well, in fact, that they had no desire to separate one from another. That kind of sounds good. But God, who knows all, said it wasn't good. My pastor one time, he said, "Man made the city and God made the country." And he said, "In the city, you want your gun loaded and the hammer back and the safety off. And in the country, you enjoy to see me. I was telling Donnie yesterday that the Bible said they joined house to house. He said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I said, yep, it's in there. It's in a negative way, joining house to house. They're doing away with the country, doing away with the beauty. Verse 3, and they said one to another, they had this language they could speak. They were of one speech. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone and lime for mortar. You see, they wanted to use as good a material as they could in the building of this tower. They prepared for this job. And it seemed to be that they had a desire to build. And that trait is more commendable than the trait of so many today who desire to tear down and to destroy. They were united in this effort. This reveals to us just what can be done when men work together in unity and harmony. This world would be a paradise if men would work together to make it one. But for the most part, we destroy and tear down more than we build. Verse 4, they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you why. He's sending them spaceships up, putting them colonies up there. You know why? Man's trying to get to heaven some way other than God's way. What's old saying? What goes up must come down. Yeah. What God takes up, it stays up. So man, somehow, he says we can build a better spaceship. We can go beyond the moon. We can go to Mars. We can go to Jupiter. We'll find somewhere and we can make it happen. Your Bible. And without this Bible, you wouldn't know this. But your Bible said God formed the earth. He formed it to be inhabited. And He put man on it. Now, I'm standing on this ground. I'm not floating. If I do float, God help us. I don't want to. But the reason I'm standing on this ground is because I've got gravity. I can jump. I don't go through the ceiling. I'm not a very good jumper, but I can jump. I come right back down. On the moon, they tell me to jump and just go forever. Sure, kids will love it. But I need this gravity. When I came over here, I put the brakes on my car, and without gravity, I just keep on going. But I've got just the right amount of gravity. Not too much to hold me down, but just enough. They got to take that with them when they leave this world, William. They got to take oxygen with them. I ain't got a bottle of water up here, but if I did, I'd have to take that with me. Why not? Ain't no water out there. Ain't no oxygen out there. Ain't no food out there. Because God didn't form it to be inhabited, but yet man, in his quest, just like these people, in his quest, I'll reach heaven my way. And they're pretty united in that effort. They want to reach heaven. They want to make themselves a name. Who was the first one? I don't know. Russians say they's first. Americans say they's first. I know this. Russians have cosmonauts. And America's got astronauts. And God's got was nots. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. I'd rather be a was not than be an astronaut or a cosmonaut. But they want to make themselves a name. They want to somehow get the recognition for making it to heaven without the help of God. You just don't know how utterly impossible it is you make it to heaven without the help of God. They said, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. That's what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to be scattered abroad. He wanted to show them He could help them, that He could protect them. For fear, I guess, they were huddled together. They had seen this destruction that the world somehow denies, and yet every civilization points to this great flood of Noah's day. Even though it's been 300 years, it's still in their mind. It's still hanging over them, probably still dealing with them. Here, their enterprise is revealed. They wanted to make a name for themselves. Men in their carnal state have always enjoyed seeing their name in bold letters and their works proclaimed. And it's not simple, nor is it wrong, to take pleasure in your work or your achievements, but the pride that accomplishes that is something you've got to be careful of, because it can end up being wrong. And it's always more difficult to build than it is to tear down. And churches need to be motivated to build so that lost souls might find their way to the Lord and get saved. And if the motive of the church is to make a name, and I know this happens and I wish it didn't, but I wish churches didn't put so much emphasis on the numbers. I wish they didn't put so much emphasis on their church. I wish we'd all be just co-laborers together. But if the motive of the church is to be recognized as a, what they call, a mega church, monumental, thousands show up. I don't know whether they're saved or not, but the reputation of that church, it'll be tried. And the work, if it ain't careful, it'll be as the chaff which the wind takes away. These people, they didn't wish to be scattered, and their desire was contrary to the will of God, and they were doing exactly what the Lord asked them not to do. It was God's will that they be scattered, that they replenish the earth. Now verse 5, this is an important verse in this text. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. I like it when God comes down. He comes down to inspect the work. He comes down to see if we are working. As a matter of fact, He came back from praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and He beheld His disciples and they were asleep. And I'm sure sometimes He comes down and maybe even with our eyes open, we're asleep. But He comes down to inspect the work. Nothing escapes the notice of God. He still observes things that we build, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He's the true inspector of work. What about the life you and I are building? You ever thought about that? Is the foundation laid upon the rock? Is the structure strong? Will it stand the test of the wind and the waves and the roaring waters? In this case, their success would be their failure. Their achievements would be their ruin. Both the tower and the city will have the recognition of men, but it won't have the recognition of God. It could have been a thing of splendor and beauty, yet it would have been ruinous because the intention was not of the glory of God. All self-centered building will crumble into ashes regardless of how well it's built. Let us build so that God will not be disappointed when He comes down to inspect our work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15 talks about any man's work. If he build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, three other things it mentions, wood, hay, and stubble. Talks about the fire is going to try the work. Wood, hay, and stubble don't do too good in the fire. Gold and silver will. Precious stones will. We need to examine the work we're doing for God of what sort it is. And the Lord said the people is one and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they've imagined to do. Here they are now, they're one people. They've got one language. They're in unity. And such a unity they're in that it will accomplish this proposed tower. You know, the Bible does tell us to come together in unity. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. There is good in unity. When that unity is in agreement with the will of God, their unity, even though it was in agreement, wasn't the will of God. And their unity was not accepted of God. But here is strength in unity. And through that union It's an unholy union. They were going to succeed in their effort. And the extent of their success, God said, nothing will be restrained from them. Do you see that? Look at verse 6. God said this, and if He said it, it means it's true. And He said, now nothing will be restrained from them which they've imagined to do. Some things it's not good for you to do. That's why God set boundaries, not to go beyond. It wouldn't be a good idea to take a 2-year-old little girl and put a loaded 44 Magnum pistol in her hand with a hammer back and say, here, play with this. That wouldn't be a good thing to do. She'd probably shoot herself or someone else or anyone else. Some things are not good to do. God said nothing will be restrained from them which they've imagined to do. There was no limit to what might be accomplished if God had intervened. Perhaps there's a valuable lesson in this for the church today. A lesson to learn. And the lesson is unity without God is vain. It's destructive. But unity with God is indestructible. As a matter of fact, unity with God, David said, by the Lord, he said, I've run through a troop. By the Lord, he said, my hands have been made to break a bow of steel. By the Lord, he said, causing me always to triumph. Unity with God is indestructible. The oneness of the upper room was achieved by obedience and humility. They were there waiting for God to do what He does. Sometimes we just need to wait. The Bible said in Psalms 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verse 7, God says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. God speaks to Himself here. The Father speaks to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. The conversation is God talking to God. There are three metaphors of God. All three are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All three are one. How do you explain that, Brother Eddie? I'm a son. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. An egg has a shell, yolk and white. I don't know how to explain it. Paul says it's a great mystery. But here, God's talking to God. And in the conversation that He's having, He said, we need to go down. We need to intervene for their sake. If they couldn't understand one another, they could not help one another. And to dispose them and to scatter them, these things were done. God, who when He made man, taught him to speak, now calls him to forget the former language and to speak a new one. You know, in Acts chapter 2, after they come out of Pentecost, the statement was made in verse 8, how hear we every man speak in our own tongue, wherein we were born. They came out speaking the languages of the people that come for Pentecost. All the Jews from all the world gathered at Pentecost. They come out of the upper room and preached the gospel in every language, not an unknown tongue. Said they preached every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. They spoke Chinese, Japanese, Portuguese, whatever, I don't know, but they spoke it all. That was one of the signs that caused the Jews to believe, was because they heard them speak in their language. A lot of harm's been done today because of tongues. And I'll say this about tongues, you need to be careful. The devil can speak in tongues. The Bible said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're God or not. And I don't have no axe to grind here this morning, but I will say this, the Bible says do all speak with tongues. That tells me everybody doesn't. I've never spoken in tongues. I'm kind of glad I ain't. I've got to answer for this one tongue, that's good enough. I'd hate to think I've got to answer to God for another tongue. Amen? The confounding of the tongues divided these men. And it scattered them abroad, which is what they needed. And it don't make no sense to you or me, but God knew that's what was needed. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Their building was stopped. The confusion, it disabled them, but it also helped them. As a matter of fact, there were three generations here. Chapter 10, verse 5 through 20, and verse 31 talks about Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All of their families were right here. God said, this ain't where I want you. As a matter of fact, God had plans for each one of these families. And the Lord scattered them to fulfill that plan. Verse 9, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. See, He's God. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Babel means confusion. The children of men now were scattered, never to come together again until that great day when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of His glory and all nations shall be gathered unto Him. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and 32. God's not the author of confusion, yet in His wisdom, He confounded their languages because His compassion upon them in a... I've got something wrote down here. I ain't sure why I got it wrote down here, so hold on here a minute. The Bible said God has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That's why He's God. That's Acts chapter 17, verse 26. God done this to help man. He done it so that man could fulfill the will of God and God's will. You remember what the angel Gabriel said to Mary? Peace on earth, good will. God's will toward you is good. Good will towards man. He just wants to bless you. Sometimes we get in the way of that blessing, but His will is to bless us. His will is to protect us and to help us. He loves you. He's there for you. Out of His hand, He feeds the whole world. If you ate this morning, it came from His hand. If you woke up this morning, it came from His grace. He gave you another day. I told Donnie this morning, I was talking to him on the way up here. I said, Lord gave us another day. You know what I told him? I said, go to the house of God and say, Lord, thank you. He's going to brotherhood this morning. I said, Brother Don, I ain't going to tell you, go and raise your hand. But go in there and tell the Lord thank you for the blessing. God put a blessing on Donnie yesterday. And I told him, I said, they may not need to know the blessing, but go in there and give God praise. Boy, we ought to. The Bible said, let the redeemed the Lord say so. The Bible said the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. We're so shallow in our praise. I don't like meeting in church. Church ought to be the most liveliest place in town. I don't like to meet in a church. It's like a funeral home. Everybody's just, and listen, I ain't putting you down. But I can't do that. I'll tell you right now, I can't keep quiet. I'm telling you, I tried before and it squeezed out my eyes and runs off my cheeks. They come up and say, Brother, don't be quiet. We want you to shout. I remember my pastor's work. Wife, one time, I thought maybe I was being a hindrance to the service. And I did try to button my lip. And I sit up there, and I mean tears run out of both corners of my mouth. They just running everywhere. Sister Mass come first, she said, Brother Eddie, don't be quiet. We want you to shout. We like her to say amen. And I heard and I said, woo! Glory to God! Don't bottle it up. Let it. You know, I've always heard it. Said like this, if you can't help it, don't worry about it. It's the right kind.
Amen.
I've been where I got to can't help it so bad, I don't know what I was going to do. One guy said, you have to have a dude. And that's just because he didn't know what to do. I mean, he just had something inside bigger than him. And he didn't know exactly how to express it. But I'll tell you right now, I couldn't point a finger at him. I've been there myself. But there was one tongue. By that one tongue, men easily corrupted one another. So God marred the work in order that He might mar the wickedness that they were doing. You don't need to build without God. You don't need to make plans without God. You need to include Him. You should have woke up this morning. And the first thing you should have did, you should have said, Lord, thank you for a good night's sleep. Thank you for another day. And you should have been like me this time. You got your heart as a sausage and egg biscuit. Said, Lord, thank you. Not just for this sausage and egg biscuit, but for the health and the appetite to be able to eat it. Watch my dad in the last days of his life, Anthony. I knew he didn't have long. I said, Daddy, what do you want to do? He said, I want to go to a Chinese restaurant and eat. The price I took him. I picked him up, put him in his wheelchair, and I pushed him out there in the truck. I picked him up, put him over my Dodge truck, and put his wheelchair in the back of my truck. And I took him to a Chinese restaurant, and I got his wheelchair out, and I picked him up, put him in a wheelchair, and a good saint of God come by and said, Brother Eddie, you want me to push your dad in a way, park your truck? I said, yeah, please. She pushed him in there, curling. And I said, Daddy, what do you want? I'll go fix your plate. I went and fixed his plate and everything he wanted. I sat right in front of him. All he could do was look at him. I said, Daddy, it's going to eat. He said, I'll eat later. It was still in his refrigerator when I had to clean his apartment out. He wanted it. We take it for granted. We just sit down and just expect to have an appetite, have a health, to be able to enjoy a meal. God is so good to us. How do we ever run out of praise? Why do we run from Him? Why not run to Him and say, Lord, let me walk with You today. Let me talk with You today. Let me enjoy You today. We've mislabeled God. He's not your enemy. He's your friend. God intervened because it was needed. If God intervenes in your life, it's because it's needed. I trust Him. When I pillow my head at night, I say, Lord, I'm going to sleep. Watch over us. I don't worry about my house burning down. I don't worry about someone breaking in. I don't worry about any terrors of the night. I say, Lord, I'm going to sleep. Watch over us. Can you think of a better one? Somebody called me today. We're selling security systems. I said, I got one. Oh, you do? Yeah, done got it installed. Oh, is it one of them remote ones? Oh, it's better than that. I was like, right, what kind is it? I said, I got the Lord watching over me. He don't sleep nor slumber. Click. I never heard another word. Never heard another word. Hey, it ain't waste 2 more minutes, boy. I got the Lord watching over me, Brother James. You go ahead and trust whatever you want. I'll just trust in the Lord. You better believe it is. God help the one that thinks he can trespass God to get to me. He better choose another house. Amen. You know, when the children of Israel, we're way over time, but when Jacob's son done the unthinkable, and that guy did violate their daughter, Dinah, and I'll tell you what, when they left, God said He put the fear on those nations, and they didn't come out against Israel as they left. He can put the fear. We'll stop right there. I see them coming.
Brother, I'm not a very good reader anymore.